You're very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. Anything you hear on today's show, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. And you could, not saying you have to, but it'd be appreciated. You could put some Guinness and some cake in an envelope and send it to yours truly. In my company today, to more serious matters, is a, do I say young gentleman?
You can do.
Yeah, young gentleman by the name of Tom Hill.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Tom, how are you?
Yes, very well, thank you very much.
We met each other at Ascot 2018. You built a garden there, which, to be fair, send me a note on Facebook or Twitter, that's to you, listen, not Tom, obviously. He's seen the garden. If you haven't, and I'll put a photograph maybe in with the show notes and this. But what was that garden, Tom? Or to ask that question in a semi-subliminal third dimension, what was it about that garden that caught my eye, do you think? If that makes sense.
Well, obviously that's a difficult question, but I would say probably the strong geometric shapes is definitely one of the eye-catching features, and probably the bulb planting, which harmonises with it.
I spoke to some of the students who had built gardens at the same show. When I build gardens, I said, I always see it as the lady on the far side of the bar. And you turn around and say, well, she is the most beautiful woman in the world. If I don't spend the rest of my life with her, I'll have itchy trousers. Life isn't worth living. To put that into garden terms, when you see a garden, the point I made to them was you have to turn around and go, oh my God, this is amazing. However, if you turn around at the first juncture and say, I like her shoes and I like her earrings, but I'm not mad on her hair or her dress. In garden terms, if you point out that's a nice water feature, you've already broken it down. You've isolated one feature which has dominated the entire garden. Therefore, it's a house with things in it, not a home. Does that resonate with you when you're building?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so. I mean, everything obviously in the garden needs to appeal, I suppose, to a wide range of people. Like your house, you obviously furnish it with things you like. And I mean, I've designed the garden in such a way that for people to enjoy it, you know, I want them to take inspiration from it and feel that they can take ideas and use them in the garden. And if they wanted to, they could maybe use them in the house.
We'll get into who Tom is, as a by the way, in just a minute, I promise you. But from a garden design perspective, Tom, when you put pen to paper, do you turn around and say, well, this is how I want it to feel, or do you say this is how I want it to look? There's a grave difference between the two, because one is very much from the heart and the other is very much the equation or the other side of the brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I had a vision for the garden a year ago. I knew what I wanted to achieve. So obviously plenty of sketches, plenty of models. I didn't actually really have a solid idea of what it would actually turn out like, because there's so much going on, so many individual elements that were getting developed and built by different craftsmen. But fortunately, it all came together.
I was talking to Andrew Fisher Tomlin. Your garden came up in conversation, and he was talking about how some of the things in your garden were built.
So we had a few people coming forward who were new and interesting, had good ideas. People like Tom Hill, brilliant garden. And what I love about it, he's using new materials as well. And to me, that's really exciting. He's using Media Trichoia, which we were talking about earlier, you know, which is actually from the...
There's a girl sneaking in. There's loads of doors in this place. Sorry to cut across your picture. Yeah, I forget I'm not on camera, and people wouldn't have noticed anyway. But new material, you were saying. Yeah.
So you know, Tom came in. He said, "I'm doing this thing and everything." And he heard of this thing called Media Trichoia. I said, "Well, actually, I have actually, because I worked with Oxford Planters on using the same material when it was first available. And I did a show garden a couple of years ago where we used it as a great new material. And that's when I found out that it's actually owned by the Irish. It's owned by the Irish government because it's part of the same thing as MDF. And you know, this material, you can bury it underground and they'll still guarantee it 25 years later. You know, it's awesome. And it's natural. It's all a natural process. And Tom's using that, and he's taking not just use that, he's taking it and use new paints and things like that to create these almost like steel and copper. And you're looking at this thing, that can never be wood, but it's, you know, you knock it and you think, oh, that's wood, but it looks like copper and things. So he's really exciting because he's interested in those sorts of things. And that's the sort of people who you want to encourage, because otherwise we'll just keep having the same people doing these show gardens and it gets quite boring and dull.
Yeah. Do you want to tell me a bit about them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, everything except for the table and chairs, which is by Quan Garden Art, has actually been designed by myself and developed over the last year. And as I said, I found local craftsmen and artisans to actually build it for me. So it's all very personal to me. It's all been designed, on paper. We've built prototypes. Plenty of mock-ups to get to where we are today. But something from the beginning I really wanted to set out to achieve was to actually design as much as I could in the garden. If I could, I wanted to design everything, but unfortunately the table and chairs were just one thing that I thought might be nice to get someone who actually does this for a living and bring that in.
What's been the response to the garden overall? And before you answer that, when I spoke to Matt Keightley, he spoke about walking out and standing in the middle of the crowd. I found it hard to believe, to be quite fair, Tom. But he said he stood out in the middle of the crowd because he was relatively new to Chelsea. And he could hear people critiquing and praising in equal measures the garden. I don't want to misquote him, but essentially that was that. Do you do that, Tom?
I have been sort of listening into people's sort of responses to the garden. To be honest with you, the good responses, I've moved closer to them and had a chat, and the bad responses, I've sort of closed off my ears and moved the other way. But yeah, I mean, overall, to be honest, there's been just a really good response, which is obviously really pleased about.
So let's bring it all the way back then. I used to grow plants under my bed, yes. Age 5. Okay. Yeah, this is such a bingo, folks. We haven't played this game in a while. First garden, age 9. I'm not being interviewed here, so this is very much all about you. Horticultural College, Donegan Landscaping. You did what direction or what route did you take?
I've had no formal training at all. So I worked for a small local company where I really learned the basics, pretty much just fencing, turfing, a little bit of decking. After working with them for 3 years, I went off on my own, decided to start up my business. And really everything I know to this day is self-taught. I pretty much set myself the challenge for every garden to teach myself something different, and basically just developed on that as I moved through my career.
Are you a builder and designer of gardens? Are you a designer? How do you call yourself? What's your business card say?
It's landscaping and design. So I suppose a bit of both. I've always built gardens, and design sort of has come a little bit later on. But maybe now I'm sort of moving more towards the design and sort of trying to move away from the landscaping side of it. I mean, I'm not getting any younger, unfortunately, and my back's getting weaker as I'm getting older. So I think probably that's the direction I'm moving in.
What was the first garden that Tom Hill Landscaping and Design built under your own name? Do you remember it?
I don't really remember it, to be honest, because it was a long time ago. I started my business at 19. Yeah. I'm 33 now. I've done quite a few gardens, and especially at the beginning, the projects are fairly small. So I can't actually, off the top of my head, remember what the first one was, but it was probably fairly stressful.
When you look back on it at 19, do you say, jeeps, Tom, you really should have waited for another 5 years and done X? Or was it, no, I learned really hard, really fast, and it's made me what I am today, and you wouldn't turn back the clock, I guess?
Definitely not. I mean, I think starting at 19 was the right thing to do. Very difficult, obviously, a 19-year-old turning up at a private client's door. Doesn't matter what pictures you've got and or what you can talk about. At the end of the day, you're 19 years old, and for them to believe in you, it's a real task to get them on your side. I mean, I think it's really, starting at that age has really got me to where I am today. If I'd started any later, maybe I wouldn't be ready for this show, and maybe I wouldn't have done the inaugural Ascot Spring show. So I think everything, I mean, in my eyes, has probably led me to this.
Well, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, because you've now got me in, you're now me being interviewed by me, if that makes any sense to any of you. So quick fire round from a young man who went out in business on his own, speaking to a also young man, although you were younger than me, who went out in business on his own. And I did have that, you don't have a beard, is this your dad's business, questions given to me. So all of the things that have happened to me, I'm about to ask you. Have you priced jobs incorrectly, and how badly have they gone wrong?
I've priced plenty of jobs incorrectly. But fortunately for me, I believe that my level of craftsmanship and my honesty has actually helped me out, and I haven't really ever had a real problem. Or it might just be I've been very lucky and the clients have been very reasonable.
When you went out on your own at 19, not to suggest that age is relevant in it, did you turn around and go, God, that was a terrible thing, that, what was that?
Definitely not. No, I mean, it's just an amazing learning curve, really. At 19 years old, I don't think it's a problem to start your own business at 19 years old. If you're good and you know what you're doing, I think it's definitely not a problem at all. I think the earlier you start, the better it stands you in good stead for the future.
Well, I'll put it back to you, Tom. And again, it's not that age is a thing. I think if you go out on your own at 40 years of age or 50 years of age, I think it's a new business, and I think there are mistakes that are made. And I remember one guy saying to me that he forgot to price in the fencing for both sides of the gardens for no apparent reason, just complete forgot about it, where I think, as he said to me, if he had been 43 instead of 42, 1 year older than business is the point I make, then he might have had somebody to say, this doesn't sound right, but somewhere in the middle of trying to get a business off the ground is very different to a ship that's out at sea and is just sailing along nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I've as I said, I've made plenty of mistakes in the past, but fortunately no major ones. And I've had some really good clients over the years, and they've all been very reasonable. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's a relationship between the client and the designer or the landscaper. And, you know, as long as you're on the same page, I think things can be worked out.
Very true. Your favourite garden that you've done to date?
Probably this one at the show.
Do you want to describe that to people, the 2018 Ascot Garden, briefly, as a picture, if I was to put it down on a table in front of us? And
yeah, I mean, I set out to design a really modern garden that was a bold and dynamic, you know, something that was would excite people, a really interesting space to be in. I think, as I described it, my hobby, I do quite a lot of art. I really wanted it to be something, you know, like a piece of art, but something you could step into. So visually really pleasing, as I said, very dynamic.
Have you done show gardens before? Have you been involved? Have you helped others out with show garden builds? Have you done any of that?
I haven't. This is my first show. I haven't helped any other designers out or any other contractors. And to be honest with you, I haven't even been to see any other show.
Ever?
Ever.
Because I did something similar until I built my first two show gardens. I decided I didn't want to, because I was afraid it'd make me not naive. Does that make sense to you? I'd mature, I'd become, yeah. I'd know how to do it all. You get invited to a party and you walk in a Led Zepp t-shirt and a pair of jeans and a pair of Converse. When you get there, everybody else is wearing top hats and tails. And you're going to go, I'll be fine. But you've confidence enough to take it off. That's the point that I make. Yeah, I was afraid that I would end up dressing sensibly.
Yeah, sure. I mean, to be honest with you, there's no real reason for me not to attend any of these shows. I think I've just been too busy, and you know, the BBC coverage is so good. They show you around the gardens. I mean, I know Chelsea, for instance, is so busy, and if I'm going to Chelsea, I want to be able to actually see the gardens close up and inspect it, and the BBC was giving me that, so that was probably the main reason, as bad as it sounds.
There's a lot of people will listen to this and say 33 years of age?
Yes, correct.
33. Went out on your own at 19. 33, I would still consider to be young. Or younger than me, anyway. And to do the business thing, which I have such respect for. But there's a lot of people who will say, well, you know, how did you do it? Why did you do it? It's the, you're kind of one to look up to, if you don't mind me saying, Tom. If I was in college, I'd be watching where you were going. And I think I said that to you pre-us coming on air. I've had more than one conversation in the last few weeks where they've said, keep your eye on him. He's one to watch. He's like a Caitlin McLaughlin-esque thing, which I would consider a compliment if anybody said that to me. They didn't mention Caitlin. I did. But at the same token, what is the advice to the next generation coming through? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I can see why it is quite inspirational. I mean, for the younger generation, obviously, I wouldn't say don't go to college and don't learn your trade that way. Obviously, I did it very differently. But I think, I mean, it depends on the person. I had a hell of a lot of drive. I knew what I wanted to achieve, even if I didn't express it verbally. In my own mind, I knew what I wanted. I wanted to impress people. I wanted to design gardens that are beautiful. I wanted to be well known, I suppose, do a show like this. And I think that drive obviously has got me to where I am today. But it does show that you don't need to go to college. You can teach yourself, like I have, from the sort of the myriad of resources out there, the books, internet, anything's possible. You just really need to put your mind to it. And, you know, you need to be passionate about it.
I'll start that again. There's an article framed in the bathroom of what I call my office. And one of the paragraphs in it is basically me saying I borrowed the tools from my first job. I didn't take any bank loans. How did you start?
Fortunately, my parents backed me, so that they bought me a really old a ute. It was actually called a Hyundai Pony. It was pretty embarrassing to drive around in, but it did the trick. I borrowed some of my dad's and my granddad's tools. And that's all I needed, really. So that's how I started.
I'm going to stick on this one slightly. When you say they backed you, you don't obviously mean for like $100,000 or...
No, not at all. You know, I mean, probably, I don't know how much it cost, but it was I think it was 1969 or something, the van they bought me even had a choke. And I think it didn't reach 60 miles an hour. And I did have a few days in after having it, I was on the motorway and the windscreen wiper stopped working at 65 miles an hour in heavy rain, which is pretty scary. So, you know, it was nothing special. And most of the tools were made out of, you know, had wooden handles and were half rotten, you know. But still, I was able to carry out the works and, you know, no problem at all.
Point I'm making is that if you think it's impossible, it's not. It's possible. And if you have basically a couple of £100 in your arse pocket, but you've got the drive. Like, I didn't draw up a business plan, did you?
No, absolutely not. No, I just, as I said, I knew what I wanted to achieve and I just went about and did it.
Did you put the flyers through the door? Did you do that? Did you get business cards printed up, a logo, Fancy Dan logo designed?
I think I actually got the 500 leaflets made when I first started, but I didn't get one bit of business from it. So everything to this day is word of mouth. I still don't advertise.
There's a lot of people, well, actually, I've got a hesitant and a pause, but there are a lot of people still to this day when I say that I went out on my own at 24 and I did that wage 30 and everything in my head was 5 years, although I was entirely broke. I did work 18 hours round the clock and I did work the 7 days a week and I didn't take anybody on for something like 3 or 4 months and it was hard and the tools were a bit battered and bruised and I shake hands with you on the Del Boy Trotter transport mode and there you go. I think when the dip hit, as Ron Finley would call it, the Great Depression, when that clicked in, the people that I found survived. I don't know whether that's an appropriate word, I apologise if it isn't, but the people that I found were able to make their way back out through it were those who started well before the boom in a way in which you or I did because they knew what the bottom was like already and knew how to pare the business back down without, as I always say it, without reducing the quality of the finished garden. So you weren't charging the client more and giving them less. Yeah. You were just cutting every piece of everything that was trimming the fat.
Yeah.
There's a door open. Hello? it needs WD-40, doesn't it? You think we should buy some for them? I'll leave a bottle. I'll post it to them. I promise you. Do you identify with what I'm saying there?
That completely.
Oh, the door. Yeah. No, I can't remember where we were. I'd have to play this back and figure it out. What were we talking about? You listeners know, and I don't.
I can't remember the question. So I think it's another one coming as well.
There's another door. Yeah, people need doors. They're hugely important, but that one doesn't creak as much. Hello. She didn't say hello. But she's got a squeak in her shoe. I think it was the point was of when the recession clicked in, Tom, and having started a business with basically diddly, me borrowed tools and 6 months credit from suppliers who I knew, and my car was that battered, I remember taking the sunroof out. I had a sunroof, and I could knock the sunroof out and I could fold in the 6 foot post that needed to be concreted in, and driving down the motorway with 24 poles held in place. You've obviously seen the dip, and you've obviously seen the bit of the fallout, and business being culled, and jobs being cancelled, and things unpaid, etc., etc. Have we got back to the question? Have we? We have.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, I'm a small outfit, and I always have been. I've never really upscaled my business, so for me to fall back to how I started was fairly easy. I've always brought in subcontractors if I've taken on a bigger project. So, I didn't have any problems, fortunately, with the recession, I think due to the size of my business mainly.
Not to be critical in any way, but did you see others fall by the way and go, geez? And it was a hard time across the board. A lot of people I know went by the way, not because of their business, but because of maybe other financial interests, let's put it.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people I know that obviously fell due to the recession. It's an awful thing, but, it affected so many people. There's a lot of people in the same boat.
I remember listening to an interview with John Lennon, and he was talking about the Beatles in Hamburg when they first went over, and they were on the Reeper Band, and he said at times it used to be so cold they used to lie one on top of the other, and then one would go to the bottom and the other would go to the second, and just to stay warm it was that bad. And he said when the chips were down and you'd been on stage for 9 hours and you were being told, Mac Shaw, make the show, get back on stage, essentially.
When the Beatles were depressed, thinking the group was going nowhere and this is a shitty deal and we're in a shitty dressing room, I say, where are we going, fellas? And they'd go, to the top, Johnny. And I'd say, where's that, fellas? And they say, to the topmost of the poppermost. And I'd say, right. And we'd all sort of cheer up. When I was a Beatle, I thought we were the best fucking group in the goddamn world. And believing that is what made us what we were. Just a matter of time before everybody else caught on.
My point is, what's when the chips are a bit... If you're a self-employed guy and you're working on your own, it can be a little bit... I won't say lonely, but you can be a little bit isolated. You can sometimes need to, you got to have ice cream and jelly tots or whatever that thing is if it's not music.
Yeah, mate, to be honest with you, I think family. I think spending time with my wife, spending time with my mum, my dad, my sister. I think that's what I like to do.
The family then seems to be, because that's about the third time you've mentioned that.
Yeah, the family is really important to me. I'm really close to my parents, my wife's, my parents and my wife, you know. That's what it's all about for me.
Where do you just go on holiday?
Definitely don't go on holiday enough, I can tell you that much. But in recent years, we've been going to Palma in Mallorca.
Never been.
No.
I've never been to Spain.
Haven't you?
No, I've been to Italy and the Dominican Republic and South Africa, but I've never been to Spain.
It's really nice. I mean, I think it's one of those places I feel comfortable in, so is my wife, and we've been there a couple of times, and now we know the town. Yeah. So it's just nice to go back. I mean, that's the key to it. You want to go somewhere that you can instantly relax, and we sort of tend to go back there because of that.
I've got a thing where I can't go to the same place twice because I'm afraid, not afraid, but I'm afraid that the experience won't be as I remembered it. A bit like, we go back a little bit, Tom, if we can, because I empathise having been there, having, I think I discussed with Paul Hervey Brooks in particular, about sponsors pulling the plug, that's par for the business, about the sponsorship thing for an intended show garden not coming through, something that's happened to me 3 times. And again, I say it, it's par for the course. But a new show, which was Ascot, this year of 2018, how did the sponsorship thing go? I know they've, as discussed with Stephen Bennett, they got brand Royal Ascot and they've got brand Stephen Bennett, and the two of them together is a very good chemistry, I should add. But to go and pitch a new show garden at a new show for a designer who hasn't done a show garden before? Did that change things?
Yeah, I mean, it was very difficult. Obviously, I wanted to actually wanted to do a show garden, but you know, if you need to have some funding in place and a few people that believe in you, so it's fairly difficult, really. I suppose to get the ball rolling. Fortunately, I work for Moorish Builders, who are a large building firm. Down in the South Coast. I've worked for them for probably 15 years, so that was my first port of call, if you like, to approach them and see if it was something that they would be interested in. And fortunately, they were. So that really gave me a bit of a kickstart. So as soon as I had them on board, I was then able to obviously approach some other companies and sort of say, you know, I've got someone who's backing me already. I've made a start. How do you feel about coming on board as well? But it's very difficult, you know. Everyone wants quite a lot from a sponsorship. I found that anyway, and very difficult to get them to believe in me. Obviously, I had the design. Some companies weren't too keen on it and obviously turned me away, but others were. It's I think the key is finding companies that they can include their items in the garden and it works for them, and that's what's quite difficult, especially with my garden. It's very modern. There's some strong geometric shapes, so that was the challenge, finding the businesses that would invest in you because they can see the garden works for their product. So that's how I went about it, really. And I've had 7 sponsors in the end, which is quite a lot. And you know, some of them they're funded through you know, money side of it. Others have donated furniture and features and built them for the garden in return for publicity. So I think definitely if you're looking for sponsorship, you can't be selfish. It needs to work for everyone, and you have to be genuine. You have to go in there and really do believe that you can offer them something, and you're not just going in there wanting everything for them.
I had that discussion, though, Stuart, Charles Toner. It was essentially, what was the sponsor get in return? In this case, it was a new investment bank, his Chelsea 2018 garden. None to the point, if you don't have one large name over the door, essentially you need a collection of smaller. But I do admire the get one and then go and say, by the way, I've got 2 people in the band. Do you want to play drums with us?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think you have to. You've got to start somewhere. And I think if you approach a sponsor and you've already got some fairly weighty sponsors in the bag, if you like, they're definitely more willing to get involved. But I still think, you know, whether you've got other sponsors, you know, involved already or not, you still need to be very genuine. Well, I believe that anyway. It might be different for others. It's my first show, so you know, it was a bit of a learning curve for me. But I wanted to go in there and actually tell my potential sponsor that I believe I can give them something back for investing in me.
Are you going to do another show garden, number one, and number two? Have you a little bit got the show garden bug buzz?
I think I will do another one. I'm not too sure whether I've got the bug or not. I think I probably have, but it's a real roller coaster of ups and downs. Some days I've you know, loved it. Other days I've been so tired, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, to be honest. Yesterday was quite on the Friday was a very low day of the show, and the Saturday was a much better day, you know, where I really enjoyed it. So I think I definitely will. It's just I need a little bit of time for this to soak in, and then I'll probably start thinking about it.
Well, I'll rephrase this to you, Tom. If Mary, I'm unsure of your second name, Mary, because you're slightly fictitious, is listening to this and says, I like the cut of Tom's jib, we've got a big leprechaun sitting in the refrigerator, we should give it to Tom. And as I say, mildly, jestly, but become the Machiavellian-esque benefactor to fund a garden, would you be there in the morning?
I think I probably would.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it very much.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
How's that?
Yeah, it was all right. Probably not. Are we off air now, are we?
Are we still recording?
Are we?
Yeah, I'm
putting the microphone edge. Yeah, it was great. It's fine. Yeah,
okay, we're not recording.
So, okay, no, that's all right. No, so no, I thought you didn't think you were.
No, I am, yeah.
Oh, you are recording. Okay. Sorry, yeah. No.